Proverbs chapter 12, verses 13 through 19. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lips of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. I don't know if you noticed really the theme through here, or the majority of the thoughts here, again, being that which is said, that which is spoken, the lips, the words. Again, and time again, as we go through Proverbs, as you read through Proverbs, you'll find a lot is said about what we say and how important that is, how important what we say, when we say it, how we say it, the well, whatever's in the well of the heart will come up in the bucket of the mouth. And so the care, the revelation, you know, if you talk with someone long enough, you'll find out what's important to them, right? And it might be, you know, the Lord, church, grandchildren, family, job, tomatoes. If you talk to me very long, I'll start talking about tomatoes too. I'll bring that up. I like them. I like to eat them, but I like to grow them. I just like to grow them. I think it's fun. I enjoy that. It's kind of like a hobby. I don't know. They're all doing well, in case you were wondering. All of them, they all survived. Every one of them that I planted has survived. All 36 of them. And so they're looking good. They all look different, you know, because, well, not all of them. There are 12 different varieties, of course, and just kind of different. But yeah, you start talking about things that you're interested in, right? And so things that we're interested in should reveal that should be wholesome things that are godly, things that are good, things that are helpful, things that are encouraging. And so that should be it. Again, we start out here with verse 13 here of Proverbs chapter 12. It says, "The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips." The word snared has to do with being trapped or caught, like being caught in a trap. And there is danger when it's talking about a wicked person, of course, and that's what it says, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. If we're thinking about lies that have been told by the wicked, and of course, sometimes, you know, well, when you tell a lie, many times, if not all the times, you have to tell another lie to cover that first lie that's told. And then you tell another lie to cover that lie. And then another lie to cover that lie. And before long, you forgot why you lied to start with. And you're in trouble. And your story changes from person to person. It's kind of like, now, there's a difference. Is there a difference between lying and exaggerating? Yeah. Well, sometimes. Sometimes we exaggerate, like, boy, you should have saw the fish that I caught. Yeah. You've heard it said about some folks, I knew he was lying because his lips were moving. You ever heard that one? Well, telling stories, exaggerating, embellishing. You know, I played football when I was in junior high and high school, and the older I get, the better I was. Right? The older I get, the better I was. We exaggerate. We need to be careful about these kind of things. And remember that the Lord says that the essence of the character of the Lord is truth. He's characterized by His truth, His righteousness. And so that's why it's mentioned so many times in the Bible, in Proverbs, of course, because anything that's not of the truth is offensive to the Lord. It's sin. It's wrong. And it's hurtful. It's dangerous. There's trap. We can be entrapped by that. Because it says, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Why? Because he's been honest. Did you know there's safety in doing the right thing and being honest? You say, well, some folks still won't understand, or some folks will think that I meant something else, or that, well, what did you mean and what did you say? If you said the right thing and you did the right thing, there's nothing else to do. Except, Lord, help me. Help me get through this. Did you know there's a lot of folks that, especially wicked people, will lie about Christian people to make them look bad and to make themselves feel better? They'll exaggerate and misconstrue something that a godly person has said. But what does it say here in verse 13? But the just shall come out of trouble. Why? Because you and the Lord know what you said. You and the Lord know what you did. Let me give you a verse. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 6 and 7 says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Interesting, isn't it? My mom used to say, keep your mouth shut and let folks think you're a fool, or open it and remove all doubt. No doubt you're a fool. Keep your mouth shut. Well, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. Now let's move on to verse 14. We've got several verses to look at today. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Remember, these verses are comparisons and contrasts. Here we have a comparison, although it's not as much of a comparison as it is a statement of two truths. In verse 14, it says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Means there's good things that's going to result by the good things that are said, and by our being careful and temperate about the things that we say. And it says, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Just like we, when we work, we receive wages. We receive wages for the work that we've done. In the same way it's talking about here in verse 14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Meaning there's going to be good things to be received by good speech, by talking right, by being an encouragement, by being helpful, by being a blessing. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 2, it says, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. Now, if you've been a Christian for a period of time, and you have been around those who know the Lord and those who don't, you will understand, you will see, you will detect a distinct difference between the language. Now, I'm not talking about profanity necessarily, although that could be part of it. But you'll notice a difference between where it goes and what's talked about and the stories, the suggestiveness of it, the innuendos, the criticism, the things, just the way that it's done. If you're around those who love the Lord, you're going to notice a distinct difference hearing those who don't love the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that everything that somebody who doesn't love the Lord or isn't a Christian is sinful or wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the pattern of it. I'm talking about listening long enough, being around. You can tell there's a difference. And it's not, and I hope you understand that it's not us. It's the Lord living through us and speaking through us and hopefully giving us wisdom to say the right thing at the right time. That's what we want, isn't it? We want that wisdom. We want direction. We want the Lord to put His arm around us sometime and put one hand around our shoulder and the other one over our mouth. Right? And to keep us from saying something that we shouldn't. Lord, help me. Not to say... And I pray that the Lord helps me with that. And I have to be careful and I have to be guarded. I have to... Have you ever heard the expression, I had to bite my tongue? Well, sometimes your tongue gets sore, you have to bite it so often. Because there's a lot of things you'd like to say, but you really shouldn't. You really can't. But what does it say? Let me read this verse to you again. Proverbs 13, verse 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. There's going to be good things that result. But the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. And so there's a difference there. There's a contrast. Then we see in verse 15, if you would look at verse 15 with me. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Do you know why you can't tell a fool anything? Because he already knows it. He's not going to ask for advice. And when you try to give it to him, he'll despise it. He'll resent it. And I know that most folks don't want our advice unless they ask for it. But a wise man, a wise person, will not only ask for advice, but will receive it when it's presented. If it's good advice, if it's godly advice, and hopefully the Lord will help us with that and give us wisdom in knowing the difference. If it's something that's helpful, we should receive it. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16, it says, listen to this. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a fool rageth and is confident. So the foolish person has this arrogance and pride about them and does not want to be taught, does not want to be helped, and they're confident in that. They're confidently foolish. I know we've all done foolish things, haven't we? We've all been at a point in a place in our life when we should have asked for help, we should have asked for advice, we should have waited before we said something or waited before we did something. I'm thinking about some foolish things that I did as a young man. I did some things that I shouldn't have done, and I said some things that I shouldn't have said. When I was 17 years old, I knew everything, and my father knew nothing. But it's amazing how intelligent and wise he got by the time I was 23, 24 years old, 20, something like that. The older I got, smarter he got, and the less intelligent I became. I realized I didn't know as much as I thought I did. I told you about that young man that we had in our boys' home when he was 17. He got his mom to sign him into the Navy and come and told me he was going into the Navy because he was tired of folks telling him what to do. Now, I wasn't in the military. I wasn't in the armed forces. But I know, from talking to folks, that they tell you what to do when you're in the Navy.
Yeah. Quite a few people in the Marine Corps, my husband was.
Yeah. We know. It's discipline, didn't it? And he came back in a few months, and he looked so sharp in his uniform, and he looked at me and smiled, said, "Brother Lonnie, I'm sorry, I had no idea." I want to thank you for trying to help me. But we tried to help him. I trust that everything went well for him, but oh yeah, he's tired of folks telling him what to do. He was confident in that, you know. He was very confident in that, just like the verse says. How about Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 12? It says, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness." A generation, a group of people, a bunch of folks. The word generation in the Bible may mean a generation of time, or it may mean a group of people. This one could be either one. Because there is a period of time in our lives when we're not as wise as we should be. We tend to make more foolish decisions than we otherwise would. Then chapter 19, verse 20. Remember, look at verse 15 of our text again. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end." That's, the latter end means later on. when all settled and done, when the situation's over, we'll be glad that we asked for help. We'll be glad that we asked for counsel. And again, please remember, this is godly counsel we're talking about, especially these young people we've got here. We need to understand that there's a lot of counselors out there that are not godly counselors. They will give counsel that is not based on the Scripture, the Word of God, and on the truth. It's based on whatever they think or whatever they want or whatever they have experienced, and that may not be the right kind of counsel. But this is talking about godly counsel. Let me give you the verse again. It says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end." We need to maintain a teachable heart no matter how old we get. You say, "Well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks." You can, too, if the dog wants to learn. If the old dog wants to learn, they can learn new tricks, most certainly. Look at verse 16, if you would. Here we go again. I believe we have the words or the language or the speech talked about, I believe, again, in verse 16, although actions could speak as well. Verse 16, "A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame." Fool's wrath, someone flies off the handle real easily. You know, there's times that, have you ever heard it said about some folks that they have a short fuse? A short fuse. It doesn't take much to, my dad used to say something about somebody. He said, "Well, he'd fight at the drop of a hat and he'd drop the hat." Confrontational? Fight over nothing? Win an argument, lose a friend? You see, there's sadness in a fool's wrath, isn't it? It's presently known, no doubt about it. Remember, we talked about how pride and foolishness go together, right? And wisdom and humility go together. Both pride and foolishness are very visual, easy to spot it. It's there. It's there. You can see it. It's easily acknowledged or noticed. But wisdom and humility are not easily noticed. Why? Because they're not loud. They're quiet. It's not exalting itself. One man said, "It's hard to be humble, or it's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am." You know, and the truth is, he thought he was great, but he really was not. The truth is where we need to be in the will of God and look at ourselves as God looks at us. And if we've got wisdom, we're going to be quieter than those that, as it says in verse 16, "A fool's wrath is presently known." He pulls the lid off of it quite quickly. But a prudent man, what does it say here? Covereth shame. Is that his own shame? I think it's more likely someone else's. Let's think of a scenario here. In verse 16, you've got a fool who gets... let's talk about a family situation, because we all have one, don't we? Families. You got somebody in the family, it might be a distant cousin, or it might be an in-law or an outlaw or something like that. But something happens in the family, and one of the people gets all upset about it. All upset. And says things they shouldn't say and burns some bridges and breaks fellowship with the brothers or sisters or mom and dad or whatever. And they just tell everybody all over the world, their neighbors at church, folks at church, people at work, or what their family did or what their relative did or said. They just talk all about it and try to get others to agree with they shouldn't have said that, should they? Well, they shouldn't feel like that, should. But contrast that with a godly person who does not want to reveal or to acknowledge or to publicize the faults of others. Do we really love somebody? If we really love folks, then we won't be publicizing their faults and their failures, will we? Look at the verses here. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind. Sometimes there's not much to be said. But a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. That's interesting, isn't it? When I was just a young man, I was probably 20 years old, had a compliment paid to me. And I'll be honest, I didn't read Proverbs like I should have back in those days. I didn't learn to read a proverb every day till later on. I wish I had. I wish I started out as a teenager or even younger reading a proverb every day. And if I had, I would have found this verse. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. I had a man say to me, and a man that I went to church with, he looked at me and he said, I figured you out. And it scared me. I said, what have you figured out? I hadn't done anything. I thought I'd said something that offended somebody or something. He said, I figured you out. I said, what do you mean? He said, you wait till everybody else has got, you wait till everybody else says what they want to say, got to say, and then you speak. I said, oh, I do? He said, yeah. And that was a compliment. I thought he was criticizing me. I don't know. I think he was criticizing me. I think he thought I ought to just jump right in there like everybody else was doing and say what they thought about whatever was being said. But I didn't even realize it, but I was being wise by listening to what everybody else had to say and then speaking. And I'm thankful for that compliment. I've never forgotten it. And I learned a Bible verse and didn't even realize that it was there. It's true, isn't it? It's true. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterward. So be careful. Be careful. Proverbs 12 and verse 10 and verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Here's another verse that talks about covering a transgression. Proverbs 17, verse 9. Listen to this. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth the very friends. Can you find a verse any more practical or helpful than that? Let me read it again. Proverbs 17, verse 9. You might want to turn to that one and look at it, put a star by it. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Now, we think, I think things need to be dealt with at times, but they need to be dealt with privately and carefully. If someone has committed a sin, a private sin should be dealt with privately. A public sin should be dealt with publicly. That's in church. That should be in family as well. If somebody said something to you, then that needs to be dealt with privately. But if it's been done, if it's been spread abroad, it needs to be dealt with publicly. But in our position, it says that we're to not to spread, we're to cover. We're to put the fire out, not to throw fuel on the fire. We're to try to put this fire out. How do we do that? We cover it. How's the best way to put a fire out? Cover it with water, cover it with something where it can't breathe. Put this fire out. Put out this brush fire that's been started. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. So let's be careful what we repeat. We need to be careful what our motive is in sharing things with others. Let's look at our verse again. Verse 16, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. A smart man, a wise man, a prudent man. Verse 17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Here this speaking of truth is contrasted with the false witness. I looked up many verses. I'm only going to share with you one verse, but there's more than a half a dozen verses or passages, verses in the book of Proverbs that deals with a false witness. A false witness it's talking about there, it's not just talking about someone that's lying, but specifically it's talking about someone who's under oath, someone who's in a position of saying something that is being recorded, or that is being that it's a big deal. That's what we're saying. It's a big deal. It's in a courtroom situation. It's in a, of course, they didn't have courtrooms back then like we do today. They did all that down at the city gates, didn't they? But the person could perjure themselves, and the importance of being a true witness in these times. These are special times it's talking about here. And so this contrast, a false witness, deceit. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. Truth, speaking of the truth. Let me give you a couple of verses here. Proverbs 19, verses 5 and verse 28 as well, in the same chapter. Proverbs 19, verses 5 and 28. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Shall not escape. Verse 28 says, an ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. How much better would our justice system be if everybody told the truth? I just recently got a thing in the mail. I had to register to go to serve jury duty. How many folks ever done that? Jury duty? Most of you, most folks. I got called in once already about, how many years ago, Diane? 25 years ago or so? Down in Delaware County, pastor down there in Delaware County. And I was so excited. I wanted to see what happened. I wanted to experience, see what happened, this situation. It was somebody who accused of robbery. And they went through all the interview things. I got out there. I was juror number 8. And got all the way to about the start of the trial. And the defense attorney had one person that they could throw off the jury. And the prosecutor had one person they could throw off the jury. For whatever reason. They didn't have to say why they wanted to do it. And the defense attorney got up there and they had judges, and I kind of wasn't even paying attention at this point. Because I didn't know they did that. The defense attorney, he called him and said, which juror would you like dismissed? He said it so fast, and the defense attorney didn't hesitate. He said, juror number 8. And I'm going, I didn't realize they were talking about me. Surely they didn't want to dismiss me. Why would they want to dismiss me? I'm a good guy. I've been honest. And the judge said, looked at me and said, juror number 8? No, that's you. You're dismissed. I was sad. I think they could probably tell. I don't know why he dismissed me, because I was going to be honest. Well, a false witness, to be honest, it is so important. To be honest, and false witnesses cause so much trouble, cause so much money. If you would look at verse 18, this is an interesting verse. If you would, verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword. Wow. Those that hurt, harm with a sword, with their tongue. They use their tongue to cut with. You ever heard somebody be referred to as having a sharp tongue? And the Indians used to say, you speak with a forked tongue, right? You know, that which means you've lied. You're lying. But, you know, the serpent's tongue is both forked and it's sharp. And so we shouldn't have a sharp tongue if we know the Lord and if we're speaking as unto the Lord. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Now, it's not talking about the Word of God, and when we say something that puts someone under conviction. It's not talking about that. It's talking about the motive of why we say. When we say something intentionally to hurt somebody, to cut them, that's wrong. And we shouldn't do that. That's the Lord's business, by the way. But He can take what we say and help them and deal with them properly. But it says here in our text, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health, meaning it's helpful. You know, sometimes even when something is said that kind of cuts a bit, but if it's done properly and under the guidance of the Lord, it's health, it's helpful. When I was away from the Lord as a teenager, before I got right with the Lord at age 15, I guess I was close to that time in my life, and I said something in the presence of another young man at school that is good. He was a friend of mine, but he was Christian. And I was upset about something, and I used a bad word, a cuss word. And he'd never said anything to me about it before, but he at this time he looked at me and he said, "Why do you cuss?" And it was like taking a sword and just going boom right in my heart. But it helped me so much because it got me to thinking, why did I cuss? It wasn't long after that before I got right with the Lord. But I remember that like it was yesterday. He didn't say it in a way to hurt me. His intention was not to cut me to the out. He just asked a simple question, didn't he? But the Lord took it and drove it right in there. Something as simple as a question. I'll never forget it. And so let's remember, as it says here, the tongue of the wise is health. In Psalm 52, verse 2, listen to this. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Goes with the first part of the verse, like a sharp razor. But Proverbs 16, verse 24 says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words. Encouraging things, helpful things. Not desiring to hurt people. Not desiring to cut people with the things that we say. Then our last verse, verse 19, if you would, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Contrasting the time, the value. I truly believe that everything that we do for the Lord, everything that we give for the Lord becomes eternal. I believe that's how we lay up treasures in heaven, by giving and by doing things for the Lord, serving the Lord with the right heart, with the right. At that time, it becomes eternal. What about the things that we say? Does it become eternal? Does the good things that we say become eternal? Well, what does this verse say? Verse 19 says, the lip of truth shall be established forever. Is that talking about the Word of God? I think he's talking about what we say that is eternal in value. We should live in light of eternity. We should speak in light of eternity. It should affect how we speak, of course. Let me give you a verse. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 9. Well, let me read a lying tongue is but for a moment. A false witness shall not be unpunished, but he that speaketh lies shall perish. So the contrast here is between that which is brief, that which is temporal, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. The lip of truth shall be established forever. I looked at that verse and I thought, you know, I want what things I say to have some lasting good effect, not to just fall by the wayside. You know, there's people that have invested so much time and so much money, so much effort into things that are of this world. Now, I'm thankful for the work that's been done to provide electricity and air conditioning and lights and things like that that we can. I appreciate that. But you know, there is a point where that which we can do, we can actually do things that become eternal. We can say things that become eternal. You know, I don't know if it's just repeating of the Word of God or sharing of the Word of God or being a blessing and being encouragement. What about the times when we see someone that may be going through a difficult time and we go to them and say, "I want you to know that I love you and I'm praying for you." What is that? Does that become eternal? Probably does, according to this verse, because it's building. It's that which is honoring the Lord and that which the Lord can use to encourage. And then pray for them. What about our prayers? Are they eternal in scope and value? In effect? Do we pray in light of eternity? We should. And so all this works together, doesn't it? I'm so thankful for Proverbs. I get excited. And I appreciate your attention and prayers this morning. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed.